Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, I'll jump in here. I'm not sure if we're having some technical issues with Reese Waters' connection. I'm Chris Russell. Good to have you back with us right here on The Fan. I'll be with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Reese will be with us until 6 o'clock tonight.
What's going on, my man?
All right, we got Reese back. So once again, we are reunited as one. Reese and the Rooster right here on The Fan. Take it away, my guy.
All right, without further ado, by the way, you guys know the number, 800-636-1067. We're bringing in the Washington Post's own Sam Fortier. How are you?
Sam. I'm doing well. That intro music you guys had, until the guitar, I thought Russell was like drumming on a dining room table or something.
See, Reese, you gotta let we gotta let you in on a little thing. The boys make fun of me all the time for my malfunctions of my microphone, of my computer, of just my technology as we're doing these Zoom conferences, you know, every day. So I always have a fiasco of some sort. Although today, Sam, you would grant me I was good. I had no problems that I'm aware of or I was made aware of. Yesterday, my microphone just magically stopped working as I was asking Alex Smith a very legitimate and poignant question on the 2-year anniversary of his mark, and that's just like one thing that happens every day, and it always happens to the same guy, and that guy is me.
Did it stop working, or did fate step in?
Well, maybe fate stepped in.
That's
maybe
funny.
It's the Washington Football Organization out to get me for all the back talking I've done over the years.
I was going to say, I don't know if it's fate or the Washington PR staff. You know, hey, you got to shorten those questions, man. They need you to get to the point.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
I do tend to be a little bit long-winded. I think I ask decent questions. I just tend to be a little.
Yeah, I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know. I'm just explaining for those that don't know.
Well, Sam, first of all, thank you for indulging us once again on this Thursday. I felt a little lengthy on the injury report. Did it not feel that way to you, or were we being overly cautious?
No, Reese, that is 100% correct. I think, you know, this is definitely the longest injury report we've had this year. I think it's I would say you know, probably the most concerning, because it's not even like some of these guys are limited. All these guys are DNPs. And when you look around, especially at left tackle, you start to get concerned because you look at this depth chart and you say, okay, you know, COVID has really limited who you can bring in, the flexibility of your roster. And I think that's kind of what you're seeing right now on this injury report. Really, you look at, you know, Cornelius Lucas, who mispracticed today for the second day in a row with an ankle. And you say, okay, you know, Sadiq and Jerron Christian, two guys who make sense, just went on IR. Like what is this team going to do at left tackle on Sunday if Cornelius can't go? Obviously, you got Morgan Moses, but I think, you know, when you look at this injury report this year, not only is it lengthy, but it's more impactful because it's not easy to plug and play like it might be in other years.
No doubt. I mean, that it is a hard thing because, yes, you have the practice squad and it's expanded. But to your point, it's harder to get guys in the building, right? Because whether it's practice or 53 signed off of somebody else's practice squad, you've got to wait like a 6-day protocol of testing before you can even get them in the building to actually practice and evaluate them.
Right. And I think, you know, that comes into play this week, right? Like, if you thought on Sunday, okay, Cornelius' ankle isn't that bad, you know, this is speculation, but if you say, okay, Cornelius' ankle isn't that bad, we expect him to be able to go by next Sunday.
Right.
You would feel comfortable with, you know, okay, maybe we can rock with that guy going forward. But then if it gets to Monday or Tuesday and it's not healing like you think it is, you know, your only option on the practice squad for in terms of tackles is David Steinmetz, who hasn't played in, you know, in a game, college or pro, right, in 2 years. So I think it just puts a lot more strain. It puts a lot more pressure or emphasis on maybe something that in a normal year is a nick or is a, you know, is not as big of a deal. But obviously at the stage of the season we're at, in the season we're in, it just takes on an added importance.
Sam, yeah. Let me just jump on that one thing, and Reese, sorry to jump in here, but while we're talking about the tackles and Cornelius Lucas, who, you know, again, hasn't practiced Wednesday and Thursday, maybe we'll see if he can get out on the field on Friday. But Jaron Christian has been out for the last three games. And Ron, when this injury first happened right before Dallas, said, no, he'll be back on the practice field tomorrow. Then he wasn't. Then he was out. Then he tried to return after the bye. He practiced two Wednesdays in a row. He was limited. Then he was out on the Thursdays and Fridays. He was doubtful 1 week, out last week. I mean, this has just been a saga, right? And I know nobody really gets all fired up about Jaron Christian because he's not that good. I get it. But he was the starting left tackle. Do you know what's going on there and why it took them this long to now put him on IR to the point where he's got to miss now three more games as opposed to the three games he's already missed?
Yeah, I think you and I are on the same page there in terms of being a little confused. Obviously, they must have gotten some level of new information or, you know, I think the Sadiq Charles example is a good one. Like, he was eligible to come off IR this week, right. But then they go ahead and, you know, they decide to do the season-ending knee surgery. So I think they must be getting some sort of new information. Obviously, it's harder this year for us to kind of keep up with those level of transactions because we're not in the locker room every day, but... But I think, you know, it must be some level of new information or like Bryce Love, you know, the knee isn't responding as well as you might think. Obviously not the same caliber of injury, but just in terms of how their injuries are progressing. I'm imagining that's what this is. And they said, okay, you know, let's not even try to have him, you know, stand out there at practice or whatever. Let's just go ahead and shut him down and try to see if that takes care of things. Because I do think, you know, this year is about evaluating those young players, determining your core. And Jaron Christian is definitely one of those guys. And, you know, you did get a fair sample size at the beginning of the year, but I still think you want to see him out there for as much as you can before you go into this offseason and figure out who are our guys moving forward.
Sam, one of the things you dropped in your breakdown a couple days ago is we're finally, according to Coach Ron Rivera, discussing other options at kicker. And I know a lot of people just exhaled all across the DMV. However, is this something we should be openly discussing? You know how sensitive kickers are. Because God forbid we have to come back with Dustin Hopkins and he knows we were out here cheating, trying to holler at kickers on the street. That looks bad.
Yeah, and so here's the thing. I think the weirdest part about that is on Monday, Ron Rivera said they were discussing, you know, other options at kicker. When we followed up on Wednesday, a reporter asked, you know, hey, where's your head on the Dustin Hopkins situation? Ron Rivera emphatically said that he had never considered changing kickers, that he had never thought about it, he had never said it, and that was that. I don't know if that was – a little bit of, you know,
he saw kicker's tender on Ron Rivera's phone.
Ron is doing a lot of reading though, Sam. Wouldn't you agree with that assessment? I mean, he is monitoring everything that we're saying because a similar thing happened with the Dwayne Haskins, Dan Helly thing.
Exactly. No, there is definitely, you know, he's definitely paying attention. But to your point, Reese, I don't know what to make of that. Maybe on Monday he was considering it, and you know, at some point after our press conference he decided not. But he definitely not just walked it back, but said that he had never said that. So I do think they are going to stick with Dustin Hopkins for now. That does appear to be the course.
How surprised are you that Alex is doing what Alex is doing? Reese and I were discussing this, you know, earlier. He still has more of an issue with benching Haskins because Alex is not the future, and they're not winning, right? And granted, they're not winning. We all understand that. But I look at it as, hey, this offense is operating at a higher level. It's not good enough, but at a higher level with Kyle Allen and now Alex Smith as opposed to the way it was with Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, I think both of these arguments have really legitimate points. I do think that the thing that we miss when people, you know, when I see people say, Dwayne Haskins, you got to see what you have. You got to throw him out on the field. At least according to what Ron Rivera has said publicly many times, it is not what he needs to see on the field that will determine whether Dwayne is the future. he says that it's a study habits thing. It's a practice thing. It's a preparing thing. So to me, letting Alex Smith show what he can do, letting him kind of, build this offense back up or help it along. And Ron has pointed out several times that he does that by being a veteran, by being able to point things out or change plays. That's all fine for this year. But in terms of, is Dwayne your future guy? Maybe you start him down the road. But Ron is really focusing on what he is doing as the backup week in, week out. Obviously, we can't see that. It's going to be up for Ron to determine, is he doing enough to merit another look at the starting job? But in terms of, is Alex Smith making this offense better than it was right now? The answer is yes. And is he the future? No. And is Dwayne Haskins possibly the future? And should you at some point work him back in to see if he can translate what apparently are improved study habits onto the field? Yes. I think all of those things are true at the same time.
Sam, I want to know where Chase Young's head is, because this is a guy, he was playing hard last week. It was an unfortunate incident, the roughing the passer penalty, which set up the game winner. But I've heard some other comments that he's made saying that he wants to have more sacks. And I think he's played better than the stats reflect. I think most sensible fans would back him in that regard. At the same token, I understand it's a bottom line business. Is he still feeling encouraged in his rookie year?
Yeah, I think every time you talk to Chase, at least publicly, he maintains, I'm doing the right thing for the team. Coaches like what I'm doing. This is the steady Eddie sort of deal. Obviously, his parents get on him, in a loving way about he needs to have more sacks. His mom kind of famously gave him that C+ for his first seven games in the NFL because he wasn't leading the league in sacks. But I do think, every week when I rewatch the game, it is amazing how many doubles and chips he sees on the edge. Obviously, that's not an excuse because, other elite pass rushers are getting the same thing. But for a guy who's coming in year one, figuring it out, I think it's okay that you don't see seven sacks right now. I think, three and a half, and obviously, he had a couple of those in week one against that beat up Eagles pass rush or Eagles offensive line. But I think it's okay. I think that, Montez Sweat obviously is I feel like having a better year than he had last year as well, but you don't see the numbers. It is a bottom line business, but I guess this just goes into the framework for me of this year is a building year. Obviously you want to see your top draft pick perform well, but if he figures out this year the things that he needs to do next year to boost those sack totals, I think that's a win for the Washington football team.
Reese, I want to get more into Chase Young on the other side. Sam, thank you so much for your time, man. Appreciate you. Good to see you earlier today. See you later, I guess tomorrow, right, over at the facility as we wrap up the practice week. Thanks for coming aboard right here on The Fan.
Thanks, Sam.
Of course. Thank you guys for having
That's
me.
That's Sam Fortier of the Washington Post. WashingtonPost.com does a good job along with Nikki Jabala and Les Carpenter covering the Washington football team. It's Reese and the Rooster on The Fan, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. I've got something on that as well, Reese. When we come back, you want to do a little Chase Young or no?
Let's do it.
Let's do it, baby. Right here on The Fan.
Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. Reese Waters here with the Rooster. Yo. You guys have been rocking with us all day. I want to thank you guys for that. Hitting us on the AAA Always On Call listener line. The number 800-636-1067. Rooster, said that you had a little Chase Young you want to get into?
Yeah. In just one second, I wanted to tell a funny story. I just was talking to my son during the commercial break, and I he's helping his mom out in Canton, Ohio, emptying the dishwasher. I said, Tyler, I'll call you after the show. Why do you have to go? Why? I said, well, just listen to Dad on the radio.com app. He's got it on his phone. He goes, I'm busy. Shut my ass down.
Wait a minute. So he wanted to talk to you on the phone, but he didn't want to listen to you on the
radio? Exactly. He does not want to. He's not buying the whole Reese and the Rooster thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I have to take personal responsibility for that. That's pretty clear.
Well, I think that's more a me thing. I mean, you know, he doesn't want to hear my voice unless it's from like a year and a half ago on a podcast with Aaron Hawksworth. That he listens to all the time. He's got that downloaded. He'll listen to something with me and Aaron Hawksworth from a year and a half ago. He doesn't want to listen live.
So that's the difference.
Exactly. On Chase Young, so Sam was talking about how his mom is like his toughest critic. This has kind of become like a little side humor story. I don't know what he said today because we were on the radio as he had his press conference, which basically is about, once a week now. Quite honestly, because, him and Terry McLaurin, are really the only kind of interesting, super interesting players that have mass appeal. So they usually talk, once a week, which they're pretty much required to do.
You don't talk to Sprinkle?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry to disappoint you.
That's all right. By the way, Sprinkle, how comedians, we love a good name to throw out. A lot of hard consonants. Sprinkle is a great name to throw out if you need a joke.
If you need a little dash, if you need a sprinkle of, something.
Sprinkle's perfect.
So anyway, while his mom is disappointed in Chase Young, I got to say this, everybody that I talk to, you talk to Ron Rivera, Jack Del Rio, you talk to people around the league, and even though the sack numbers are not, I guess ideally what you would certainly want. He doesn't have, six, seven sacks like we've kind of talked about, right? We have to remember he missed two games, essentially. He was out early in the second quarter of week three. So if you want to say that's a game he played, okay. I mean, that's a quarter and change. I mean, I'm counting that basically as a game he did not play. And then he missed the Ravens game the next week. And then he returned for the Rams game, Reese, but, clearly in a monsoon of rain with a groin, you're not going, I don't know if you're going out there full speed. So I still look at it as he missed two of the Washington football team's, nine games? Yeah, right? They played nine games, right? So, look, are the numbers a little bit disappointing? Yeah. But I would also say this. He, I think, plays the run pretty well. I'm not saying that he can't get better, obviously. I think, and talking to Logan Paulson on our postgame show last Sunday after the Detroit game, now this was before Logan got to watch the tape, so I'd be interested to see if he says something different, with being able to slow it down. The one thing we were kind of talking about is Chase doesn't seem to right now have like an arsenal of counter moves. So when he gets initially, punched with a tackle's hand, say, and then maybe he gets chipped or rubbed or doubled straight out, or sometimes and occasionally triple teamed. And triple teamed is not three guys at one time, but it's like one guy, then another guy, and then maybe a third guy will jump in there to try and neutralize you. So I wonder, and I tried to ask Jack Del Rio about that today, and he wasn't really going for it. I mean, he was fine. He answered it okay. He's like, he's a good young man. He continued to work hard, all that. I wonder if that's part of the problem right now, why we're not seeing these monster sack numbers out of Chase Young, is because he doesn't have that counterpunch, if you will, that repertoire of being able to figure out a counter to the initial or the double or the chip that's coming and the help that's coming. And I'm not saying that's easy, but that's what I see on tape. I see a good first step. I see a really good first step. I saw it consistently in Detroit going against the right side of the Detroit offensive line, which is their weaker side. But then I would always see him stymied and, again, kind of not ridden out of the play, but just kind of walled off, again, either a single block or even a double or a chip, because I don't know if he just has like rip moves and swim moves and counters and spins. I don't see him doing a lot of that stuff. Do you see any of that, or does any of that make sense to you?
Now that you mention it, I haven't seen a lot of that. And what you got me to thinking about was the Bosa brothers. Because I have seen that from at least Nick in San Francisco in his brief stint in the league. And I know coming in, across the board, Chase was considered a better prospect than both of the Bosa brothers. So this was something you would presume that he at least has shown the ability to do. Now, obviously, being at this level of competition and doing it in the right moments when it's effective is a completely different thing.
Right.
But it's not as if, you know, he is not a guy that I don't think has shown the ability to do this. I believe he has. But to your point, I don't know that I've seen it this season.
I don't know. I don't remember, and I'd have to go back and watch the Ohio State tape. A lot of the tape that I watched, I don't remember him having this, you know, this arsenal of great counter moves. And, you know, that's, I believe, what the true great pass rushers are going to have, because also remember, he's 265, you know, maybe inching on 270 now. And he's going to be a force to reckon with if he stays healthy, because he's a good kid. He's smart. He's, again, big, and he's hard to block, right? Because he's so athletic and so big. But with not being 245 and having that, like that first step, but then that closing burst off the edge where you can just dip under people and get around people, like I saw a lot of at Ohio State. I saw a lot of speed to finish at Ohio State, not a lot of rips and swims and counters and spins and all that. So I know they were there, but I didn't see a ton of that is my point. And so far, I haven't seen a ton of that on the NFL level. And on the NFL level, you're not just going to speed past everyone. You're not just going to dip under everyone. You're not just going to run around everyone.
Yeah, what I have seen from him, which is why I asked that question to Sam Fortier when he joined us, you know, he's been a play disruptor. He's been a play wrecker, but he doesn't necessarily make the play. And so that's why I said that he's played much better than his statistics reflect, because he's caused a lot of disruption that's allowed the rest of the defensive line to clean up, and which is, you know, it doesn't matter at the end of the day as far as the team is concerned, but as far as he's concerned, I've seen him show a little bit of frustration. There was a play last week where he narrowly, I believe it was like an RPO, and he kind of ran in between the quarterback and the running back, but he prevented them from being able to create the exchange and Settle ended up actually getting the sack. And then kind of at the end of the picture, you see Chase Young kind of smashing his hands together because he's mad that he didn't make the play. Now, he essentially did make the play, but he's not going to get the sack. And so that's why I asked that question the way that I did, because I want to make sure that he continues to stay positive and upbeat about where he is, because the last thing that I would ever want him to feel is pressure specifically purely based on numbers and not based on his play.
No, that's a good point. I think, and I'll real quickly, I know we got to hit a break here at the bottom of the hour. I'll go back to at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford. He caused that Kendall Fuller interception, that great snare in the back of the end zone with a pass rush. And then in a key sequence to get off the field when they needed to force Detroit only to a go-ahead field goal, which still wasn't great, he was part of the pass rush that flushed Matthew Stafford out of the pocket and forced an incomplete, I think it was on the first down play, if memory serves, after they were getting carved up on that second to last drive, which at least, again, prevented them from scoring a touchdown and only led to them scoring at that point the go-ahead field goal. So, you know.
Yeah. All right. We will be back. We've got a couple segments left to get in with Reese and the Rooster. I see you guys are already calling in on the AAA Always On Call listener line. The rest of you guys, 800-636-1067. Reese Waters with the Rooster on the Fan. Oh, yeah. This is the jam right here. Hey, I'll do it again. Man, I could ride out the whole rest of this show singing House of Chains, man. That's my jam.
Let's get you fired up. I forgot about this.
Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. It's Reese and the Rooster for at least the next 20 minutes. Then it's just a rooster running around with his head cut off.
Then they're just stuck with me.
Good luck with that one. As always, you guys ask and I shall receive. The AAA Always On Call listener line. I'm going to go to my man Dan in Alexandria. Dan, what's going on, my friend?
Dan the man.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Dan.
Good.
Hey, man. Reese and the Rooster catching a little R&R right here.
Oh, I like it.
Don't be sleeping while we on the radio, man. We working.
I think it sounds good, Reese. I don't know about you. I think it sounds, like something maybe the station should consider.
It's marketable. It is marketable.
Just saying.
Quick question for you guys. I see Chase Young drop into coverage a whole lot instead of being, like, stunted with these mm-hmm. X crosses and things like that. Mm-hmm. Are they using him, like, creatively, or are they just asking him to rush or drop into coverage?
It's a really good question. I've seen him drop out on several third downs that have caught my eye, and it seems weird, right? Like, in a 4-3 system, the whole idea of going from a 3-4 to a 4-3 was to get these guys going more, again, straight ahead, north towards the quarterback, downhill, all of that stuff. And yet I've seen it, I don't want to say a lot. I've seen it several times where on a third down, sometimes he's not in there on third down. I'll go back to like a Ryan Kerrigan sack against the Giants in the first game in the red zone. He wasn't in there, but Kerrigan got the sack. I've seen him drop out again on several third downs. And to me, I thought, well, the whole idea of going to a 4-3 is we're not asking our defensive end / edge players to be in coverage a whole lot, right? Maybe the problem, though, is A, you have zone blitzes and all that stuff. And that is, a natural thing. You're going to do that sometimes. But also, I don't know if they trust, not that they necessarily want to throw a lot on the plate of Chase Young, but I don't know if they trust, quite honestly, their linebackers to always be better than Chase Young would be. So if they're sending a heavy blitz, say, from the opposite side of where Chase Young is, some of the thought might be is, well, if we can drop him out into the right flat, at 6'4", Reese, and 270, whatever he is.
I would say 6'5", but I'm not.
6'5", whatever he is. Maybe they can cheat a little bit and get him to swap one of those flat, routes, or who knows, maybe even pick one off and run it back, that type of thing. So it's a little annoying, but I'm not gonna beat up Jack Del Rio about it and say Jack Del Rio doesn't know defense. I mean, of course he does. I guess I would prefer them to be able to get home with four guys, maybe five, instead of having to blitz safeties off the edge all the time. But that's football nowadays. They know that's the strength of their team, and they're going to try and shut down the strength of their team. Right?
Oh, did he go? Is he gone? Oh,
I think so.
All right.
I think they got rid of him.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate the phone call.
I think he was just looking for a scouting report for Madden. He was just trying to figure out what he should do.
Well,
he got that PS5.
I mean, I understand it's frustrating, right? Because people used to go crazy with Kerrigan and Arakpo and, Preston Smith. Oh, why are these guys in coverage? Well, part of the reason why they're in coverage is because, and I would always say this and people would scoff at it, because the linebackers suck, period. Okay, that's part of the reason. Now, they were linebackers, and I'm not saying they were great in coverage, but part of it was because, quite honestly, they had Mason Foster, who was carrying around a bunch of cinder blocks on his feet.
No.
I'm just saying.
Not just the linebackers suck. You're going to name check Mason Foster?
Well, I'm just saying he was slow. I mean, he couldn't cover anybody. Like,
Mason,
I love Mason
Foster, but has settled into a nice life for himself here in the DMV anonymously. I'm not sure exactly what he does, because any job I give him would be seen as disrespect, and I'm trying to be defending him. Leave Mason Foster out of this.
I'm sorry. I mean, you want me to pick on somebody that I got along with? Will Compton, what's he doing? He's doing Barstool Sports. He's more popular than he ever was as a linebacker.
There you go.
I mean, the point of the matter is Will Compton wasn't great in coverage either. Neither was Mason Foster, not to bring up that name again. Neither was London Fletcher late in his career. They've had a problem at the linebacker coverage level for a long time, and even this year, right? Now we're talking the last couple of weeks about linebackers and run fills and run gaps. Well, I think part of the problem too is earlier in the year they were beaten so bad, like rented goaltenders. in coverage, the linebackers, Kevin Pierre-Louis, John, they were just destroyed, that maybe they're trying to cheat backwards a little bit and cover some of those deeper or intermediate zone areas so that they don't get exposed there, that maybe they're a little tentative in coming up and stopping the run. That's just my theory. I haven't heard that from too many people, but that's just kind of my working theory.
All right, fair enough. I think you got some people up in arms. Matter of fact, you know what? We got a couple people hitting us up on the listener line. We're going to go to break. We'll come back. We'll take those calls. You guys can get at Rooster. One last segment, Reese and the Rooster, 106.7 The Fan. This is wrestling music right here. I feel like the Legion of Doom about to come out of something. You know what, Rooster? Reese with the Rooster on 106.7 The Fan. I take that back. I wouldn't have a mullet. The mullet would be my second choice. I want wrestler hair.
So would you be like, you mentioned Legion of Doom, and now they're both unfortunately passed away. Would you be like Road Warrior Hawk or Road Warrior Animal?
Not like what they have now.
No.
But like the one, which one had, actually, Mohawk's not bad either. Mohawk's not bad either. That's not a bad one. No, just like the long flowing, like the Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Long flowing locks, I guess.
Yeah, I want the long flowing locks.
I have never been a long hair guy, Reese. Never been a long hair guy.
I always wanted to be a long hair.
I want to keep it short.
The only one of us with long hair is Snoop. He's the only one who can pull that off.
Landfill's got long hair.
Who does?
Landfill or Jim Mullins.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true.
He's got long hair.
That's true.
Usually. I haven't seen him in like 9 months, so I don't know what it's looking like right now. But normally he likes to keep it kind of long.
I bet it's lustery. I'm sure
it
is.
You think so? Maybe.
We're going to hit up the AAA Always On Call listener line as promised. Bill in North Carolina. Bill, what's going on, my friend?
Bill.
Hey, good. Thanks, fellas. I always appreciate you having me on board. Hey, as far as this goes, I'm going to switch subjects here real quick. What I wanted, to coin a politically incorrect term in this day and age, I wanted a thug. I didn't want a ballerina. And it kind of harkens back to when the Wiz had a chance to get Karl Malone, and they took Muggsy Bogues, and then the freak show started. Then we got who was the guy who you could send through a fax machine. I guess it was Manupol. Then the guy who was built in the German castle, Murison, and then Kevin Duckworth, who went to 300 pounds, and it just got worse from there. And I like having the United Nations. I'm okay with that, but it's not what they needed. They needed a Joe Frazier. So, anyway, that's my 2 cents on the Wiz.
It sounds like he's saying they needed Obi Toppin. Wow. He wasn't available, unfortunately.
I mean, they were going to take the USC kid, weren't they? If he didn't go at number six. I don't know if they would have taken Obi Toppin, right?
Well, it seems like a lot of the guys who we were hoping would fall to us did not, and then a guy fell to us that we weren't expecting to, and then we went and took him. But I do think that, in listening to Tommy Shepard and all the things he said about how they're building the team, he doesn't sound like he's in the business of taking a player that they would then have to figure out a plan for. So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt in saying that he took Denny Avdija with an ability to fit him into their plans in building a team around Bradley Beal. I have a ton of confidence.
But the question is how soon is this kid going to be able to help? Because as was pointed out by Chase Hughes of NBC Sports Washington and I think others too, you know, Scott Brooks doesn't like to play a lot of young kids, a lot of rookies, number one. And this kid is thought to be, 2 or 3 years, not from playing, but from being what the scouts and what the experts, so to speak, think he can be, and why everybody was in the drafting community, in the scouting community, in the NBA scouting community, was so excited about him dropping all the way to number 9, because the raw numbers don't look very good, quite honestly. Not a great free throw shooter, not a great shooter, kind of not good on defense, all that stuff. And I'm not trying to say I know anything about the kid other than what I've read and what I've heard. My point is, is it's going to take a couple of years for them to develop. So I wonder what the plan actually is, you know, in terms of using a three or a four and how he kind of fits in with what they have right now. When you look at Bradley Beal's here and under contract, and apparently they're not going to get rid of him. There's all the John Wall rumors. Davis Bertāns is still out there and still not signed, but they plan on bringing him back. You know, does this team have a rim protector? No. I mean, they really don't. So,
well, I'm glad you asked, Rooster. So when I had Chase Hughes of NBC Sports Washington on this here very program, if you listened before you came on, Rooster, you would have known that we had this conversation.
Podcast, man.
You know what I'm saying?
What did
there's
Chase
a
say?
There is a lot of contradiction, actually, between – that's one of the things that Chase and I talked about, because Chase is of the mindset that this is a long play. It will take a couple of years. A lot of the national draft Knicks disagree with that and are saying that this is a guy who can play right away. As far as the statistics, they were very different whether you're talking about the EuroLeague or the Israeli league. He dominated the Israeli league and struggled in the Euro league,
right,
which is considered
the better league, right? The
better barometer of whether or not he's able to come in and play right away. So,
what do you think?
You know what? I think that there is room for him to play right away because this is clearly a perimeter oriented team. I certainly don't think he's going to give them the quote toughness or rim protection, but it seems like the league is moving away from that anyway. Mm-hmm. So if this is a guy who's a big, who can stretch the defense, who can be a playmaker, in the way in which we've seen some other European bigs do, Danilo Gallinari and Hedo Turkoglu or two that come to mind that we spoke about earlier, then I think that he actually could be a good piece who fits in very well with the current modern game. But he's certainly not going to remind you of a Karl Malone. That's for sure.
No, I wouldn't say that. I have a lot more confidence in Tommy Shepard making these decisions. No offense to Ernie Grunfeld than Ernie Grunfeld.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying Tommy Shepard, everything he does is going to turn to magic. I mean, they already traded Admiral Schofield, which I didn't quite get that deal. I know they got a pretty good piece, in, you know, the kid from Michigan State at 54. I didn't quite
Those
get
Cassius
that.
Winston.
Yeah. I didn't quite get the whole deal. Where they had to give up the number 37 and Admiral Schofield for that pick and like a 2008, 28 second round pick or whatever it was. I thought they maybe gave away a little bit too much, all things considered, but I'm going to do something, you know, because I'm not an NBA expert. There's just something I kind of feel about Tommy Shepard that I feel a little bit more confident in than I probably should, and certainly than I did in Ernie Grunfeld.
Well, he invokes a lot of confidence, and I like the way that he talks about the game, but I think that we really hit the nail on the head because this is a guy who's a forward-thinking GM, so he's a guy who's of the of the mold of the Daryl Morey's and the Sam Presti's and the GMs that look at the game from a very analytical point of view, but he's also been with the franchise for a long time. He's coming up on 20 years with the franchise. So you really get the best of both worlds. You get a new, modern, progressive, forward-thinking GM, but you also get somebody who's grown within the organization, who clearly has his chops just from a scouting point of view, which was how we used to pick GM. So I'm very encouraged when I listen to Tommy Shepard. And you know what? One of the few times in my history that I can say that things are looking up for the Washington Wizards. And we can say that after the draft. Imagine that.
Man, it sounds good to me.
All right. I'm leaving you, my friend. You can have all the wrestling talk and all the hair talk and all the Alice in Chains and alternative. You can have all that you want.
You're just ditching me, aren't you?
You do your thing, my friend. Okay. It's been a pleasure as always. Thank you for
joining me.
All right. You will be joined by the Rooster. I'm out. Catch you on Get Up DC tomorrow, 6 a.m. on WSA 9. Follow me at Reese Waters on social media. I'm Reese Waters. Rooster coming up next on 106.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.